A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Mason Jar. I am here today with an old friend of mine named Renee Mathis. Renee is, I met her at, in real life at some of the Circe events we started going to, but we also knew each other many, many, many long years before that. And one of the things I love about Renee is that she has pursued self-education for herself relentlessly. And she has just had so many opportunities come up, not because she has that piece of paper, but because she has continually educated herself over the course of her lifetime. And that has just brought opportunities her way. Today, we're going to talk about a couple of things that are favorite things. We're going to talk about friendship. That's one of our favorite things. And we may accidentally talk a little bit about being grandmas, homeschooling grandmas with second generation homeschool families amongst our children. So welcome to the podcast, Renee.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you do, like your job, your work that you do right now. What is it that you do?
Okay, well, I homeschooled my own 5 children, and they are all grown and out of the house and, praise God, college graduates. And so along the way, homeschooling my own kids, I started teaching other homeschool kids as a part of a local homeschool tutorial called Prep Classes here in Houston, where I've lived since I got married in 1982. And so Prep Classes offers classes. We're not a co-op, so the parents do pay us tuition. So it's a part-time job for me. And we're kind of an a la carte type program. So we've been in existence over 20 years, and it has really just been a joy to teach English. I started teaching the junior high level, and now I just teach high school Englishes. But we have 2 campuses in 2 different parts of town, and I'm also one of the administrators, so I get to do some behind-the-scenes work there as well. And of course, teaching English brought me into contact with Andrew Kern and the Circe Institute. And as we all know, he's very persuasive. And next thing I knew, I had signed up to be a part of the Circe apprenticeship to, as you've said, pursue more education. I wanted to be a better teacher. And the Lord provided the resources for that in a very fun and unique way. And we can talk about that later if you want to. But I was able to join up with the apprenticeship. And so, as you know, the second year I was in the apprenticeship was the year you joined. And so I hunted you down and said, we need to be roommates. That was a lot of fun and a great, great delight. So I completed my apprenticeship. I began teaching online writing for Circe. And now I am in my, I guess, 4th year of mentoring my own group of apprentices. So I'm the head mentor for the Gulf Coast apprenticeship. for the Circe apprenticeship, and we meet here in Houston, and I have just a delightful, wonderful group of homeschooling moms. Some of them are with co-ops, some of them are with other organizations, and we even have one man in our group who is fearless, not afraid.
Oh dear.
And so it's a lot of fun. So yeah, so between teaching classes and mentoring my teachers, of course, you know, getting involved in church and being a grandma, I like to say I will work for plane tickets, because all three of my girls live in Tennessee, and then I have two sons who are here in Houston, and seven grandchildren total. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit, and I know that's not even all, so we'll let you stop there, but I'll just say there's plenty more where that came from of the things that Renee does. But so we met when I went to the, I mean, in real life when I went to the apprenticeship, but we had known each other online for lots of years, and we had kind of met, I don't even know where we met, whether we were on the classical email list, Class Ed, that I talk about all the time.
That was it.
Yeah. So we were on Class Ed together. I know for years, even now, somebody just told me something horrifying. I probably shouldn't even say this on the air, but some of us were on some of these email lists for, I think it's like 17 or 18 years, however long the internet's been around, and the archives of many of those email lists are still accessible. So we could go back 20 years and see what idiots we are and what we were saying 20 years ago. Somebody said they did that one day for the fun of it while they were going through a hard time. And that did not sound fun to me.
I wouldn't hold that against anybody.
No. If anybody ever runs across anything I said, I will deny it. That was some other girl, but with my name. So I think we've grown and changed a lot over the years, and that's been kind of the fun of it, hasn't it? To morph a little bit. Did you ever wear the jumper, the homeschool jean jumper?
I not only wore it, I sewed it. I made my own denim jumper, and I kid you not, it is hanging upstairs in my closet. And I think dig it out one day and use it as a visual aid. I don't know that I could even.
Maybe it should be in the Smithsonian, you know? Maybe we will have found a place in the world eventually where they'll come looking for our denim jumpers to put.
Yeah, I remember Whitehead sneakers.
Yeah, of course. They are popular once again. You can wear white sneakers these days. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes. Oh, yes. Those were the homeschool days.
Yeah. So when you started, so we've been friends. So we wanted to talk about friendship today, and it's been kind of fun to we met in real life after years of being familiar with each other online. Do you have a lot of friendships like that going on right now?
Online friends, or
yeah, that have become like real friends.
Yeah, several. I think that's one of the fun things about social media is, it puts us in contact with people who have various interests or, you know, interests that are similar to ours. And sometimes you just, you never know what the Lord's going to do. And those end up being dear, precious friends. And I do have some like that. Others, you join a Facebook group just because you like to bake cakes, and it's fun to learn about baking cakes, but those are not ever going to be real super close friends. So I try to be careful not to confuse the two,
That's a good point. So we have our really deep friends that we develop over the years, and then we just have some casual friends who we can enjoy each other, but we know that it's not a deep relationship that's going to cross a lot of different boxes, or the Venn diagram is just going to be one little circle, not lots of overlapping ones.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think, social media can enhance friendships that are already there. I love being able to, you and I will text, and I know I could text you and you've done the same with me. Please pray now. This is going on and I could really use some encouragement. That's a great way to use technology to be there for somebody across the miles. But at the same time, I think it's hard to really, start a friendship without some extra you know, you have to be intentional. That's kind of a word we hear a lot about nowadays. But, you know, if there's a friendship I want to pursue or someone I'd love to get to know better, just chatting on Facebook may not be enough, you know.
Yeah, one of the things I hear from young moms, everybody knows I went to this Wild and Free conference, but one of the things I noticed was that a lot of young moms are alone in their communities, a lot of young homeschooling moms. They don't have a strong network of friends in their communities, people with like-minded ideas. Some, you know, even in homeschooling circles, we all don't follow the same rules or the same patterns or principles. So it can feel lonely to be following a path that no one else is following. So social media or our social connections become pretty important at that point, just because we feel so alone. Although I do think that working through things in our own communities is probably a little healthier as far as long-term friendships go. But we can have long-term friendships that we originally started on social media.
Right. And I think when you can engage with someone else in a way that, you know, you have to purpose to be vulnerable for a little bit, you know, a two-line comment on a Facebook post is probably not going to help get to know that person after a while. But email, you know, the old idea about letter writing, you can communicate a lot more, you know, in two or three paragraphs if you take the time to really sit down and share your heart with somebody. That can be a great way, you know, because we were all on that email loop, and we had, I think, a couple of things contributed to us becoming friends. There was a consistency in the contact. So even if you didn't post every day or every couple of days, you were encouraged to be a part of it. And so there was some consistency, some ongoing. We were sharing what was really going on with our lives. So it wasn't like a Pinterest perfect group where, you know, we all had beautiful homes and beautiful kids. And, you know, of course we all think our kids are beautiful, of course, but, you know, there was a way that it allowed those friendships to grow. And, I loved, I'm going to put in a quick book recommendation because I can't talk about anything for more than 5 minutes without talking about the book. But, in our church recently, we read through as part of our women's ministry, the book Closer Than a Sister by Christina Fox. And I love what she says is that we need to think about cultivating friendships and community because God has already given us this. With sisters in Christ, you are a part of God's family. You have been adopted. You are sisters. So what are you going to do with that gift, right? And I thought that was a neat way. I don't have to start from scratch. God has given this to me. I just have to pray about how to help it grow.
Yeah, how to be, like you said before, intentional about connecting with the people around me. And one interesting thing, two things come to my mind. First, what you said about email. Email was more of a long form way of communicating than what we have now is text. You know, my kids say, "Oh, I saw you called me. I didn't see that, but text me. I'll see it because I don't always keep my phone with me." So I try to text my kids more than, you know, phone calls, because phone calls are a different beast. But an email is completely out for them. But email was a long form way to communicate. And so you did have a way of getting to know people through long emails that some people would write. And recently I was talking to a girl and she said, "Well, we had this email book list that we used to be on. And when we talk about books, it just seemed like it was easier to have the book club in that long form than it is now, where we're just having snippets of conversation on Facebook about books. And while those are wonderful conversations, they don't have the depth of that longer form that the longer form had." So
that's a great insight. I think whether we're talking about raising kids or, you know, struggles or even just getting help with a project, sometimes you just need more details. And I'm with you about the texts. You know, my kids are the same way. They rarely email. I am thankful that there are a couple that we do chat on the phone often, but it's kind of like, okay, I'll go to you. if your generation is one that you would rather communicate with texts, I'm going to be there because I'm going to pursue you. And and find a way to communicate that that works for us. So I feel like I'm not just going to sit there and say, you know, come to mama.
Oh, no, no, absolutely. But. Yes. It's our job as moms to continue to force ourselves into their lives, if we have to put it that way. We are not in the building stage of life, so that can be on us when they're busy, you know, building their families. And I'm thrilled to death when I get a text from my daughter-in-laws or my children. If they knew how excited I got, it would be pathetic. But still, it's you know. I do agree that it is up to us. If you can remember your mom or your grandma or your dad through texting for the younger people, then please go, please do that. Don't forget them.
And I'm going to put in, at the risk of sounding old and turning someone off of the podcast, you know, we are probably not even halfway through it, but I'm going to say this anyway, you know, get off my lawn. Okay. Younger people, when someone texts you, please answer them back. Even just acknowledge that you got the text. I guess that's a holdover from phone call days, you know, but we're like, did you get my call? I'm gonna hear back from you. And so just, it's really funny because some people just, they just like set it aside. And then you wonder, did they even see what I wrote? But
yeah, when you don't know, I think we have this expectation that because our phone, we see everybody and everybody has their phone all the time. We expect when we text someone that they're able to answer us immediately, which isn't always a fair assumption because right. There have been plenty of times when I could answer a text, but it would be inconvenient, or I've left my phone somewhere. I've left it, tucked it away in my purse, so it's not a distraction. And so I don't see a text. I know with emails, sometimes you get an email and you want to answer it immediately, and you should. But then you think, well, I'll sit on this and think about it. And right. That's a disaster because then it's hard to go back to an email, especially if your inbox is constantly filling up with mine. It's mostly advertisements, you know, ad. Well, where was that email? It's long gone.
Right.
But with texting it, we do feel like the person has seen it.
But texting's fun. Instagram is fun. I mean, I love using that to keep up with the kids and the grandkids and see what they're doing. And I don't know. I guess Instagram seems a little friendlier sometimes than Facebook because maybe it's just because I'm a visual person and I like pictures.
And I'm a word person. I like words. So I like Instagram. I find it attractive and beautiful. I'm not Instagram savvy, although I'm working on that. But I do notice that I like words better than pictures. I don't know. It's just my personality. But the other thing you said that made me think of friendship is something I did learn on Class Ed. And honestly, before I was on Class Ed, I didn't know this. And that is that it's okay to disagree with each other. We can still be friends if we come up against something where we have a different opinion.
Yes. And in this day and age, wow, that is that we all need a little more practice with, I think. But yeah, I mean, it would be so easy to just, you know, unfollow everyone on Facebook that disagrees with me and mute everyone on Instagram that disagrees with me or that I disagree with. And then you have this very carefully curated little, I guess, what do they call it? An echo chamber of people that are just like me. And how boring would that be, right? I mean, it doesn't challenge us. It doesn't help us grow. It doesn't teach us how to get along with other people.
Yeah. And I think that goes across the line. Obviously, when you're older, you have some, you know, very conservative opinions. And when you're young, things have changed since, you know, those opinions you have now might be conservative in 30 years, but right now they're very avant-garde. So I think it's good to have old friends and young friends. I personally like to have older friends than me. And I love having younger friends because otherwise, I'm not going to know how the world is changing because I might not notice it.
Right. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to visit and get together with like younger homeschooling moms, for example. There's a group here in Houston that you've even met, Cindy, and They're having me over this Saturday, and I'm just thrilled that they want to spend time with me because I just love being around them. And it's great. It's encouraging to see what God is doing in this younger generation, the things that they're accomplishing, and the communities that they're building. And it's just a joy. So, yeah.
Yeah, they really are. The groups I've met so far, and we have a group here. I just found out recently I was invited to a group in my own neighborhood of about 30 homeschooling moms. Now, they weren't all from my neighborhood, but this was a homeschooling group that's been going on for a while of young moms. And they're very, very precious girls that are meeting together, and they go on nature hikes together, and they meet and talk. And this particular meeting, they invited four older moms in to talk about the journey that we've all been through. So I really appreciated that. And I know the group in Houston is like that too. They're very kind to us older ladies.
They are.
They look back. They're not arrogant. They don't think they know it all. And in that way, I think they're better than I was at that age. So I'm pretty sure I thought I knew a whole lot more than I did know.
Oh man, if we could look back and see all those things, I will never do this or I will never do that.
Yeah. Our children have a way of bringing us up short in our ideals.
Well, speaking of children, it's fun. My daughter is homeschooling her four children, and it's great to see. I just love seeing, they have resources now that we didn't have. And it's just so fun to talk curriculum with her. And I was able to visit with them this past week when I was in Tennessee. And, my heart was swelling. She's using the same reading curriculum with hers that I used with mine. And that's the teacher child to read in 100 easy lessons. And I got to sit down with my little grandson and read a lesson and do a lesson with him in a reading book. And that was precious.
Yes. I know when my granddaughters who are in school brought their Bob books, they're in a private school, but when they brought their Bob books to my house, a couple of years ago, last summer, it just made me so happy to sit there and get to read Bob books with somebody. Did seem like the best thing ever. It's fun that some of these things have stood the test of time. And every once in a while, because I do feel a little obsolete when it comes to actual curriculum recommendations, besides a few that I'm like the Lost Tools of Writing I'm still involved with, and a few things I'm still involved with. And it has helped me to start homeschooling. And I know you still teach that. I'm so glad I still get to homeschool other people's children so that I can see what is available and what is out there, because some of the things that I would recommend from the past are have just been surpassed, and there's just more available than there used to be. This summer with my grandkids, I had reading book club. So I would take them a book, and then the next time I'd see them, I'd make sure I had a stack of books, and we'd exchange that book for another book. So I thoroughly enjoyed that too.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, we've had grandmommy read aloud time over FaceTime because I don't live near them, and we've read through some books that way. So that's a hint, for you long distance grandmas. Use technology to read to the kids.
And your daughter is actually, she likes a lot of Charlotte Mason. She's a Charlotte Mason girl with your grandkids. So we maybe should have her on here sometime. She's a smart cookie and she's doing a great job with her kids. And
she's a good writer. She's a word person too. I'm trying to encourage her to get back to writing some more. But yeah, it's great to see the paintings that they're studying and the poems that they're learning. And I wish I had done more of that when mine were little. But I like to say, nobody hangs on to math worksheets.
they're not up in our attics now, are they?
The words that my children or grandchildren have put on paper, I will carry those around with me and take them out and look at them. I have a little letter that my granddaughter sent me, at least 6 months ago. And I put it in my bullet journal in my purse. And It's a little object lesson, and I take it out and read it, and it's got all the little X's and the O's and the hearts, and I love you. And but those Aww. Are words, you know, and those are precious. So, and it reminds me I need to write to them as well.
Yes, yes. Someone just told me a great idea, which I'm going at that meeting where I was with all the young moms. I said, so what do you like your grandparents to give you or do? And one of the moms said that the grandmom sent them, the grandmother writes the children a lot, and she sent them a whole bunch of stamped envelopes already addressed, because you know how hard it is for, I remember how hard it was for me. The kids would write letters to my mom, and then I'd have to somehow, you know, get them ready to mail, and that was, sometimes that just wouldn't, they wouldn't get in the mail. But this way, it's so easy. Nobody has to do anything. The kids themselves can stick their letters in the mail to the grandma. And so I'm going to try to do that. I have 10 grandchildren. So it seems a little daunting right now to get that 10 of those ready. I'm going to have to go buy a lot of stamps.
That's a great idea, though. I love that idea. Because you're right. We have a little more time on our hands than our busy daughters and daughters-in-law. And that would be a help to them.
Yeah. And then I also put up a board in my house. I accidentally got this framed thing that you can put pens in and put pictures on. Well, my grandson Wyatt is such, he carries a suitcase. He bought a suitcase at a yard sale. It looks like something from the 1940s, and he keeps all his drawing materials in this suitcase. And when he comes to my house, he always walks in with his suitcase full of drawing materials, sits down at the table and just starts drawing. Well, I started putting his pictures on this board. And now when they come, this last time my granddaughter left and I looked up and she had placed a new picture up on my board, and I can, you know, so I think that's been a lot of fun too, to have a little something where they see that somebody really does care about what they're doing, their work they're doing. And
yeah. And then let me go ahead and put in another quick reminder to myself as well that, you know, my other three grandsons who live here in Houston are not being homeschooled, and that's okay too. And, you know, obviously our children have the freedom to educate how they feel best, and I fully support that. So it's been fun and kind of a new adventure for me to try to get involved with them in different ways. You know, so like they had Grandparents Day at the elementary school last week, and so I got to go have lunch in the cafeteria and go to the school book fair, and you know, so there are lots of ways. I think we just have to try really hard and pray for opportunities, you know, for ways to connect with these precious kids.
And I think if you're a young mom and you're just tell your mom or your mother-in-law what you like, what kind of gifts you like for the children. You know, I love it when my daughter-in-laws have wish lists on Amazon. I love that because instead of just throwing money at them, I can buy them things they actually need and want. And I want to buy presents for the kids. I like sending packages. My mom used to send our family packages with cookies and all these things in them. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done that as much as I should have done it. And I want to get back to doing it more. But that always, I don't know, the kids used to get so excited about that. But if you can communicate to your old mom what it is you do want, because she might be in another generation, she might not know the up and coming things. And that way you can help her to make sure your family gets what you really want, get what you really want. Boy, that sounded like something from the Beverly Hillbillies.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So in talking about friendship, going back to, if we started talking about grandchildren, we would get lost. And, but in talking about friendship, what do you think are, do you have any advice? You said we should be intentional about our friendships. What about your close friendships that you have, like in your community? How did you develop those?
Looking back on, for example, one dear friend, we have known each other since we moved here, just about, and we met in 1983. We are still good friends, and we make time for each other, and that's one thing I think is important. We no longer live around the corner from each other. We no longer go to the same church anymore, but we will get together for lunch at least once a month, and I feel like I need to apologize to all the waitresses because we sit at a table for like 2 hours and talk, and I try to tip well, but it's always going to be a 2-hour lunch when I get together with Diane. But again, it's cultivation. You can't just set it off on the shelf and think it's going to thrive. I mean, of course, there are those friendships we can pick up where we left off, almost as if, you know, years haven't gone by. But I thoroughly relish and appreciate the chance to maintain and cultivate these friendships. So that's one thing. I believe in eating meals together, whether it's, you know, inviting someone out for lunch or just saying, let's go get coffee together. Sometimes just getting out of our normal everyday environment helps to just have a safe, neutral ground where we can just visit and share. And I think whether or not we're introverts or extroverts, sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zone a little bit to maybe to be the one who invites and not just wait to be invited. So those are things I would encourage people to consider.
Yeah, my good friend Linda and I, who is local, we sometimes struggle because our lunch dates are supposed to be monthly, and lately they've been 6 monthly. but we both love them. It's just sometimes our schedules we really struggle to meet together. But one thing I love about Linda is she's low. I call her low maintenance. If I don't talk to her for 6 months, I don't have to worry that something's happened or our friendship is failing. I know that at the end of 6 months, we're still going to be friends and that we're still going to be able to pick up where we left off. And that's a very comfortable feeling. So I guess some of our friendships are sort of high maintenance, and we should do maintenance on our friendships, like you're saying, but some are low maintenance, and some seasons of life, that's more important than others.
There are times when, you know, it's all you can do to throw the kids in the playground at McDonald's and grab a cheeseburger, and your lunch might be 15 minutes, you know, in between making sure the kids are all doing what they're supposed to do. So seasons of life, that is so important. I remember going to ballet class, and we moms would, you know, head over to the fast food when the class was over, because that was just precious time to be with another adult. And we would take it to get it.
Yeah, I notice that too now with my granddaughter's ballet class. My daughter-in-law has good friends now that she sits and talks to during the ballet class. You're stuck there, or you can go like a short distance, like you said, but you're not going to be able to go too far away when you have to pick your kids up. So I have great baseball friends, and those friends are just baseball friends. You know, I'm not going to go out to lunch with them, but it's baseball season. I get to see you again. And that's always fun. So we have, in some ways, you know, our churches are communities. We might have for me, baseball is a community, and you have your prep school as a community. So we have friends from all sorts of places in our lives, and we can decide, I guess, how much, you know, if there's a lot of overlap, then they might become our lifelong friends. Or if it's just a little bit, they're just friends for now and not permanent friends. Well, is there anything else that I have missed about friendship that you wanted to cover in this talk today? Because I'm going to ask you another question.
I was just really encouraged, again, to go back to that book that I was referencing earlier.
Oh, yes.
That to find ways to try to encourage and bless our friends, to give, you know, to give back, and just to pray for opportunities that the Lord would give us the words that maybe that person needs to hear. And I think that's a way we can stay involved with each other's lives, and always try to kind of put that out in front. How can I help this person? How can I bless this person? And then, of course, we all know that when we seek to serve others, the Lord blesses us as well.
Now, when you went out to dinner with your friend Diane recently, is this inappropriate? You actually had a kind of a celebrity meetup. I think that was pretty cool. You guys were eating lunch, and you saw Kate Upton, was it?
Well, I think it's a good friendship if you can kind of have little crazy adventures together. So
yes.
So Diane and I are having lunch, and I looked across this little cafe, and I said, "That is a famous person." And she looked at me like, "Who?" I have no idea who you're talking about. And I'm looking and looking, and because I have this mind for trivia and names, I looked at him and I said, that is the Houston Astros pitcher, Justin Verlander, who was helped us win the World Series, go Astros, last year. And I said, that's who that is. And so she's like, really? And we're looking him up on Instagram, and I'm texting my baseball-loving son. Their first question was, is his supermodel wife with him? And I said, yes, she is. So Diane, like any good friend, says, you should take a picture. You should ask him for an autograph. I'm like, I can't do that. You know, so here, you know, we're two middle-aged ladies giggling about celebrity in the next table. And so I restrained myself, and my, you know, discretion took hold. And I said, no, he's having lunch with his wife. I'm not going to go over there and bother him. It was just enough to have seen him, you know?
Yes.
But then when we walked out of the restaurant on our way back to our cars, she looked at me and she handed me her phone and she said, well, while you were being all nice and discretionary, I was taking his picture.
Oh.
She's pretty sneaky, but she's a good photographer.
Yeah, it just goes to show how hard it is to be a celebrity with people watching you when you eat lunch. And how hard would it be to be a supermodel and have to go out to lunch? And do you have to look beautiful, or can you just look really?
She was beautiful.
Yeah, she looked beautiful. So a lot of social pressure there. I guess we could all say we're glad we're not supermodels. Although we probably wouldn't mind it that much.
Let's try it on for
yeah, some. let's try it for a while. Like so you mentioned the book. I always like to ask people when I get a chance what you're reading. You said you were reading a book about the sisterhood book, and that's a great mm-hmm. that's a great resource. Are there any other books that you're reading right now that you can tell us about?
Oh, sure. I love talking about books. I'm almost done with You Are What You Love by James K.A. Smith. And if I were to tie that in with friendship, he says we are storytelling creatures and stories shape our lives, and we love stories. And so that's one part of being a friend is sharing the story, sharing what God has done in your life and is doing. Plus, it's a great book on developing habits, which is another kind of thing that I love to talk about. So love that book. That's been wonderful. I'm also in the middle of On Reading Well by Karen Swallow Pryor, where she talks about virtue.
Yes.
As related to great books. And so she goes through each chapter is a great book that is paired with a virtue. And so that's been fun.
I am reading that book, and I knew I was going to like it. I knew it was going to be a good book. It is the most fun book I have read in a long time.
Yes. And I'm like, where has she been? I'm like, why haven't I read it?
Exactly. I just think I'm so, and she's speaking at Searcy this year, and I'm her friend on Facebook because we have mutual friends. So I am so excited about this. I can hardly stand it because I made a rule. I can only read one chapter of that book a day because I don't want it to end. I've read like the first three chapters. Number one, she talks about reading promiscuously in the first introduction. And I thought, finally, when I was going to Wild and Free, I thought, I may not be wild, but I read promiscuously.
That's the only time we're going to apply that word to you, Cindy.
That's right. And but then her first chapter on was it virtue was actually on virtue, and her second chapter is on prudence. And you think, how can someone write something interesting on prudence? Well, she is so interesting. Absolutely.
By the way, David did a great interview with her on the Searcy Forma podcast. He's called Forma. So plug for that. Go listen to David and Karen have this great talk.
Yeah. So that's Karen Swallow Pryor, and she has written On Reading Well, and just beautifully written, excellent, excellent book. So, well, I'm glad you said that because I had been wanting to talk to someone about that book. I was shocked at how much I liked it. I knew I love books on books. I mean, I'm just, if it's a book about a book, I will give it a try, but this one is one of the best.
Yes. And books are great friends, right?
That's right. That is absolutely right. I just wrote that down somewhere that I have friends and I have books, and some of my books are my friends.
So which book is your best friend?
Oh, wow. Well, the Bible, let me be real super spiritual here. You know, check, but the Bible really is my best friend. much. I love the Bible so much because it's always there for me. Christ is always there for me through His Word. And when I pick up the Bible to read it, I always do it with anticipation that it's living and active, and it always is. I mean, it doesn't mean I always get something out of it, but I always have the anticipation that God could be speaking to me today through His Word, and sometimes before I even know it. But what about you? What, besides my uber spiritual answer, what books are your friends?
Okay, so the Bible, yes. Just listening to a sermon this past Sunday on, you know, tasting and seeing if the Lord is good, and that's the milk. That's what we need to feed us. So absolutely. Just because I'm a Southerner, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, yes.
My favorite. But also, I love Leif Anger's Peace Like a River. And that's one I could read over and over because he makes words just sing. And
that is another exciting news in the book world. His book was released, I think, yesterday, his newest book, Virgil Wanders. I think, I'm not even sure if that's
my house today. I ordered it.
Yeah, I'm going to order it immediately also. And I have a lot of books. I'm kind of, the books, the good books, the new good books are tumbling in a little too quickly right here, but I definitely am going to put that at the top of my list to read. Cannot wait to read that. It has good reviews. And his second book after Peace Like a River was a good book. It wasn't quite as good as Peace Like a River, which was a phenomenal book.
I agree.
It was worth reading. And I have a feeling this one's going to be really good. But that's what, Virgil Wanders, is that the name of it? I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head, Leif Anger. So yeah, I agree with you on those selections. To Kill a Mockingbird is great. I have as a mother of boys, I really connected to Kristen Lavrin's daughter. And it's a hard book for a lot of people, but for me, there were passages that just came right out of my life, and I, especially about birth and about the mother's feelings towards her sons, that will always be a book that I connected to, that is my friend. I consider my friend. The Hiding Place. We're running out of time here, so it's time to leave. Do you have any words of wisdom that you would like to leave us with?
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Thank the Lord for the friends that He has sent into your life, and praise Him for those. Ask Him for ways to serve them, and be open to the new ones that He will send your way as well.
Yeah, you have been a really good friend to me, and you've helped me through hard times and good times. And I look forward to, I'm going to probably see you in a week or so, and then we just thankfully run into each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
Especially with your kids being in Tennessee. So
well, thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.